It's good to be here at camp with you. This is a little bit different, I shouldn't say different experience, but in some ways it is, because I usually arrive on Saturday when the staff change is over. And so I get to spend the weekend with you and get to know your names. But here we are already at Monday, and I'm just meeting you for the first time, some of you, which is all right, and I'm happy for the guests that have come today or those that have stayed on. But we're looking forward to God's working in our hearts. I know some of you have been here already for more than a day or two. You've been here for maybe 2 weeks already, and I trust that you're experiencing the Lord Jesus in a new way, and he's coming to you. I'm very happy to see my friend Teddy Sloper here. That was a surprise, and I'm thankful that he's here and trusting that God will work in his heart. He was one of my campers, but that's a story for another time, right? We'll leave that for another time. It doesn't have to be told, okay. All right. I just wanted tonight, again, because it's my first night here, and I'm happy that my dad is with us. Dad, you want to raise your hand so they know who you are? There he is. I'm not sure why he's sitting in the second row tonight, but we'll see if he gets to the first row eventually. I have a seat for him. But we're just happy that he could be here with us. And he's always very free to share, and he knows that. So he'll... All right, Dad? So just do what you need to do, what the Lord wants you to do. But and two things. For the staff, you should have received a devotional book. Did all the staff receive one of these, right? And you've been using that in the mornings. If you haven't received one, you should see Sister Aletha, correct? But all of them got one, right? Okay. Okay, so Teddy needs one. Maybe I'll give you this one. How about that? That'd be all right?
Sure. Thank you very much.
And... this year is, and you've heard this, those of you who have been here, so forgive me, there are those who maybe haven't heard this, but this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And so we've taken our theme verse for this season from the book of Romans, and it goes like this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so each morning as we gather, we're going to look at different people in the Bible who live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And maybe if two of these young men could help me. Don't all volunteer at once. And when you get it, you'll open it up and you'll notice that there's a lot of blank space. You see that? And so... that means that you need to write in that blank space. And this is for staff, guests. Everyone should get a book. Did everyone get a pen? Everyone has a pen? All right, so put your name on the inside cover or on the front cover. Thank you. And then just bring this with you. Bring this, keep it with your Bible. It's small enough that you can slip it in with your Bible. Bring your Bible, bring the workbook to morning and evening. All right, and we'll try to use it just to help us. And like I said, it's just it's good for you to try to take a few notes, and that'll help you remember the things that are said and what God is saying to you. If you want to be a real good student, you could be prepared, you know, the day before for the next day. Right, that would be great, right? I have to be, right? So you should be too. All right, and so then you'll be able to contribute in the mornings. So I that's pretty much the introduction, living by faith and different characters of faith. But tonight, there's an article that I'd like to read with us before we spend some time in prayer. And it's number 10 in the booklet. It's kind of near the back. And it's entitled Prayer and Spiritual Life. Prayer and Spiritual Life. And feel free, you can underline in this if you'd like. If something, again, impresses you, you can put a star next to it. You know, just mark it up. It's your book. And see what God will say to you. I just thought, as we'll have a time of prayer tonight, I thought about the work here at camp. And how many prayers are prayed for this season? Our brother Gus mentioned, you know, we've waited for this moment. I like that. We've waited for this moment when the children arrive. And not only have we waited, but people have prayed. Prayed for this moment. Prayed for the children that are here now. Prayed for the staff. Prayed for every one of you. Prayed for the guests that are here. You've been prayed for. And why I say that is because we truly believe that prayer is what makes camp special, if I can use that word, special. People that are seeking God and praying and believing. And that started not necessarily with us, with this generation, but the generation that went before, the founders of this work, were people of prayer. And I'm sure that the blessing we enjoy today is a result of prayers that maybe were prayed years ago. But we need to continue to pray. You understand that? We need to continue to seek God and to ask Him to pour out His blessing upon those that come upon these grounds. And I say that because as we read through this, you're going to see that the author of this little article, he emphasizes the need for prayer and the discipline of prayer. So I'm going to just take it just one step further for the staff and for the guests as well. So tonight we're going to have a time of prayer together. But every morning, the staff gathers together for a time of prayer and Bible reading. And not only the staff here, but the staff on the other end of camp. Before the children get up in the morning, the counselors are there praying for them. Tomorrow afternoon at 4:15, you're going to have to come in from the beach. And you're going to say, why do I got to come in the prayer meeting, right? You say that? You don't say that, right? No, we don't, right? We don't. And you might say, well, you know, is that really so important? Well, we believe it is. And I believe it's important to God that we pray. And so the staff gathers tomorrow afternoon at 4:15 for a half hour, 45 minutes, and we just come together to pray. And so I want you, the staff, to understand that it's not, you know, when we come together, we ought to come with that expectancy. Lord, I'm coming to you. And there's a purpose in this. I'm not just going to sit here for 45 minutes and be afraid to lift my voice or to utter a word. No, we're going to come and we're going to pray what's on our hearts, what God puts on our hearts. Because we're here for a purpose, right? We're here to serve God and to serve the children and the guests that are here. And so we're going to pray. And then Wednesday morning, after our morning worship from 11 till noon, we have a time of prayer for the guests. Why? Because we need to pray. Our spiritual life, our spiritual breath, our spiritual progress is all linked with this communication, this talking with God. And I know that we can talk to God wherever we are. I talk to God on the L train. You ever do that? He's there, you know that? Even though there's hundreds of other people around you, God is there. But when we set aside time in our schedule, we make time for God. God honors that. And we want to honor God and give Him our time. Give Him ourselves in prayer. And then Thursday, what happens on Thursday afternoon? We pray. Friday we take off, you see. That's wonderful, right? That's why you like Friday. No, we pray on Friday as well. But the point is that throughout the week, there's going to be opportunities to pray and to seek God and to take maybe just a little extra time and say, God, we feel that, first of all, you are important. And that's why we come. We want to honor you. We want to call upon your name. We want to see your work go forward in this place. And so I just trying to underline the importance of prayer, and also to encourage you, young people. You know, being at camp is not only a great fun time, right? I mean, but there's another purpose to your being here, whether you know it or not. And it's that you come to learn to serve God. To serve God. What does it mean to be a servant of God? Well, I trust that at Pilgrim Camp you'll learn that. And that we'll all help one another to learn to serve God better and to be all that He wants us to be. All right, so let's look at the article. The way we'll do this is if there will be some brave ones that will read out loud, all right? And you can just, I'm not going to call on you, but just read a paragraph. You don't have to read the whole thing. Just read one paragraph, all right? And let's read it. You don't have to read fast, preferably not. And let's try to pay attention to what we're reading.
We'll
be first.
Oh, okay. Spiritual life is primarily and fundamentally a matter of association with God, for there is no substitute. Depths and heights of spiritual life are never... Or accidental. They are not the product of historical cycles, nor are they the fruit of sovereign determination. They are not the end result of legislation, organization, or ordinary education. The best order programs of men cannot incite them. They may be imitated, but they cannot be produced. To attain them, there is no shortcut or push-button method. And to retain them, there is no lazy man's secret. It's only by patience and disciplined pursuits the highest spiritual heights are reached. That's all I want.
All right, do you know what you read now?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a moment then. We shouldn't go on. What is he saying there? Our spiritual growth, our spiritual walk with God is not an accident, right? It doesn't just happen. It's something that we have to pay attention to and give diligence to and apply ourselves. And only by patient and disciplined pursuit the highest spiritual heights are reached. So do you want to know God? Do you want to know God? Well, then it requires effort. Yes, His grace is there for us to draw us, but we need to give Him the time. And we need to study His Word and spend time with Him alone. And it doesn't just happen. All right, next. It is one thing to extol the virtues of association with God. It is quite another to associate experientially with Him. Prayer is the paramount means of association. But most of us do not believe very strongly in prayer. We are very vocal on its importance, but we are very short on its performance. We would virtually defend our belief in it with our lives, but we do not practice it in our lives. Not until professed belief and practice coincide are depth and height of spiritual life possible.
But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Herein is our Lord's direct command. Herein is a glorious revelation of God, and herein is a most assuring promise. Quote it to the Lord every time you begin to pray, and soon you will find the depth of its meaning penetrating your soul and undergirding your whole prayer life. There are other excellent passages which may undergird the prayer life, such as James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you will discover one best suited to your need. You may find it helpful to use a certain passage for a period and then to select another.
Prayer and spiritual life are as inseparable as breath and natural life. Wherever one is, there is the other. Yet the prayer periods of so many of us are separated by such long intervals that we hold on to spiritual life by a scant thread. Retire from the world each day, says A. Tozer, to some private spot, even if it be only the bedroom. Stay in the secret place till the surrounding noises begin to fade out of your heart, and a sense of God's presence envelops you. Deliberately tune out the unpleasant sounds and come out of your closet determined not to hear them. Listen for the inward voice till you learn to recognize it. Stop trying to compete with others. Give yourself to God and then be what and who you are without regard to what others think. Reduce your interest to a few. Don't try to know what will be of no service to you.
Altogether, since it's bolded. We humans are so constituted that unless we develop a prayer habit, we tend to become lazy in our prayer practice. Only by stern personal discipline will prayer have its necessary and rightful place, for everything about this rotten world militates against a regulated prayer life.
Prayer completely misses the mark. Listen to the prayer requests in an ordinary prayer meeting or before the prayer time at a church service. You will note that with a few exceptions, the family of God is almost, if not altogether, earthly-minded. The saints are burdened with the temporal or material and seem unaware of the greater spiritual need. And I think this is a clue to our snail's pace spiritual progress, for until we recognize our need, God has little opportunity to meet it.
Examine your own prayer life. You may make some surprising discoveries. Is there the tendency to make the round of petitions day after day with little, if any, heart and with practically no faith for a definitive answer? And you may also be shocked to see how much of your praying is utterly selfish and therefore unanswered. Remember those searching words, "Ye ask, and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust."
My prayer life was revolutionized when I charted a deliberate course for it. For each of the 5 work days, I set a definite prayer objective. The first half of Monday's prayer period was set aside exclusively for giving thanks. The latter half to meditation on the person and work of Christ. Tuesday's period was to be occupied with general requests, and Wednesday with concern with the Spirit-filled life. Thursday's praying was to be governed by the content of some epistle, which would be read during that period, and Friday would be dedicated to prayer for special needs. For many months, this course has been followed, and I record this testimony for the encouragement of my fellow Christians.
I think one of the things that he says here back on the first page is that we can pray the Word of God. Do you see that? Take a scripture with you when you begin to pray. And he used the scripture, when you enter into your closet, you know, shut the door, and your Father who sees and hears in secret, he'll reward you openly. Or another verse he quoted, draw near to God, come near to God, and he'll come near to you. And so we need to remember that as we come in prayer, we're coming to God. And if we're coming to God, he's promised to come to us. And he's promised to see us as we pray. Father sees you when you pray. He takes notice when his children bow the knee and look up to him. And so take God's word. You can pray God's word. Have you ever done that? Have you ever opened your Bible and found a promise and say, God, make this real in my life? You've promised to strengthen me. You've promised to fill me with your Spirit. You've promised to give me courage. You've promised never to leave me or forsake me. You've promised to be with me in trouble. You've promised to be my healer. You've promised to be my deliverer. It's all in God's Word. The Bible says we have not because we, what?
ask.
We ask not. We ask not. And then here was this other thought of sometimes our prayers being very what? Selfish and self-centered and for material. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the temporal needs. I don't think that's what he was saying. It's not wrong to pray for your family's needs. It's not wrong to pray for protection and health and safety. It's not wrong to pray for food on the table or natural provisions. It's not wrong. Jesus taught us to pray that way. But the point is that there are other things that we ought to be praying for that maybe take, as it were, second place. There's a whole spiritual man. There's spiritual needs. Tonight when we go around the room, and I'm going to do that, I'm going to ask for prayer requests. And we'll voice our requests. It wouldn't be wrong for someone to say, I want the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want the Lord to give me guidance. I need wisdom from God. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't say, there's someone in my family who's sick and needs prayer. We'll pray for them. But there ought to be other requests. That here, while I'm at camp, I want God to give me victory over temptation. I need that. I want to take a better stand for Jesus when I go back to school. I want to be a witness. Those are prayers that we can pray. Do you understand that? And then, of course, we can pray for the work here at camp. We can pray again for those in the cottage and in the village. We can pray for the counselors. You know, I'm reminded when I think of the counselors. You remember the story of Moses when he was on the mount overlooking the battle? Remember that story? And every time he raised his hands, who won the victory? Or who was winning? Joshua and Israel, right? And then his hands got tired and it went down. And then the enemy would start winning the battle. And so what happened? They said, Moses, sit down. Here's a rock. Sit down. And Aaron on one side and Hur on the other side, they held his hands up. That's what we're doing when we pray for the counselors. We're holding their hands up. We're standing with them. And we're saying, God, bring about a victory in their lives. Bring about a victory in the lives of the children. Every girl, every little boy in the cottage. We're going to stand next to them and hold up their hands in prayer, faith. All right, so those are the things we can pray for tonight. And again, please, if you feel that you need a job, you can ask for that as well. You know what I'm trying to say? But let's make sure that we're not just confining our prayers to the things about this earthly life. There are spiritual things that we ought to pray for. God, send a revival among the young. Bless the youth retreat. Would that be a good prayer? Come to every young person at the youth retreat. Good prayer? No? Yeah. Yes. Of course. All right, what else? We have just one or two more minutes, and then we're going to go to prayer. And then it's thought about discipline. Do we need that? Do we think, you know, our lives, how many think their lives is too busy? Do you think your life is too busy? I do. I really do. I just told the Lord tonight, I said, Lord, there's too much. Too much. And what did the quote from Tozer say? Simplify or just... Simplify your life. Don't try to know too much, right? Don't try to get involved in too many things. Focus on the things that are important. And finding time to spend with God is an important thing. Some people say, I'm too busy to pray. You don't know, Brother Phil, I got a busy schedule. I got to get up at 6:30. I got to go to school. I have to do this. And I come home and I have a job. I'm just too busy to pray. Well, that's why we need to pray. The more that the Lord puts on our plate, the more we need to come to Him and say, God, I give it to You. You must undertake. You must work. And so we need to carve time into our busy schedule, as it were. Make time for God. And that takes discipline. All right, and then at the end here, he just kind of gave us his own testimony where he was very specific, right? On Monday, I pray for this. On Tuesday, I pray for this. Did you ever have a prayer list? Do you have a prayer list? People that you pray for every day? That's a good thing to do. Get a notebook, write it down. Lord, this is my prayer list. These are the prayer requests I have. And then when God answers the prayer, what did that? Do we expect God to answer prayer? Do we expect Him to answer prayer? Well, that's what He said. We pray day after day. We pray the same thing with little faith and little expectancy. But let's believe that God will hear and answer prayer that's offered in this place tonight. All right, so you can go over that again, maybe when you have time. I'm sorry for the big words. I didn't write it. But sometimes it's good because it helps us to stop and think. You know, sometimes we read things so quickly and we go back and look up those words, right? That you don't know. Praise God. So what is your prayer request tonight? I'd like to just go around the room. Now, what usually happens is, if you don't have a prayer request, you can say, Brother Phil, I don't have anything that I want you specifically to pray for. And as we then go to prayer, we may not pray for every request specifically, but you voice that request, and I think that's the important thing. You've raised it before God. Has God heard it? Of course He has. Does God see your heart? Of course He does. And by sharing it with us, we can join together in faith for you, and we can pray for one another. So who would like to start?